Steve Borsch with Minovate and
Phil Wilson from Minovate.
And we are talking with
Lisa Grimm.
Tell us a little bit, Lisa, about yourself and what took you to Blog World. Give us a little background on yourself.
Well, currently I am in the sales methodology and sales training business as a product manager, which really just means I'm a jack of all trades. There's a very strong public relations component and kind of an integrated marketing component to my gig. I have an agency, public relations agency background, and I engaged in social media and business that way in the beginning, and have been very interested since, both personally and professionally. So,
And why are we talking to you? Because you were just at
Blog World New Media Expo in Las Vegas.
Sounds like it was a good time.
It was a great time.
I was following some of your tweets.
Well, so. I hope that they were useful. That was the point.
Yeah, yeah, they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so they were great.
So did you get out there like the night before, or did you get there that day, or what did you?
You know, I flew. I flew out at 10 p.m. the night before, so I didn't get in until about 1 a.m., which is a little rough.
Yeah,
so I plan not to do that again in the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what were you in, and what was your reasoning for going out there? I mean, what was the driver? What were you, or how were you motivated to get out there to that event?
First and foremost, it's a personal passion of mine. And, I've been operating within the social media sphere for a long time, from the teenage years and on. And since being a professional, I've, started to integrate social business into the business practices of organizations I'm working in, whether it's PR practice or, from a product management standpoint. So it was useful on a number of levels for me.
Yeah. And then fun.
And fun.
All right. All right. Good. Good.
Well, tell me, let's just give the 10,000 foot view. Tell us what you thought of the overall conference,
the event itself,
environment,
yeah.
And the expectations that you were going out there with.
Okay, I'll try to keep it as concise as possible. Well, first of all, I think it's important to mention that it was my first time attending an event of this caliber. I mean, I've been to a lot of great events, and I think that Minnesota is a phenomenal place for events with technology and social media, and I think we're doing a great job. But
because of people like us.
Because of
clearly.
People like
yeah, exactly.
You.
No, and you. You.
Most definitely. And but this event, it's a big hurrah, and so I was very excited and giddy, and it's kind of like celebrity sightings for me. I mean, the Chris Brogans and the Brian Solises and Laura Fittens, all these people have written books and things like that. I was very excited to hear and learn learn from them and what they had to say. So, it was a 3-day event, and this year was a little unique because New Media Expo merged with Blog World. So, it was Blog World as well as an expo floor, the second and third day that had all sorts of, technology companies, the Radiant Sixes of the world, and, everything from video, people browser, all sorts of platforms that people
all
can.
All the podcasting stuff.
Blog Talk Radio, the whole nine. They were all there.
Yeah.
As well as a big fat burger truck, which I can get into the WTF fat burger contest later if we have time. That was a very interesting.
As long as there aren't jewelry vendors, because boy, I tell you, the Twin Cities Strictly Business Expo jumped the shark when they invited in jewelry vendors and their tables of jewelry. It's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, there were actually a couple of unique ones.
There were
some cosmetics, and there was a coated, chocolate covered walnut vendor. There were a couple of unique little misfits there. But anyways, the event was, every day we started off with a keynote. There was a keynote or some sort of speaking engagement over the lunch hour, and then every day closed with a keynote speaker as well, ending the day at about 6:30. So there were those as well as individual sessions in between all of the keynotes, and a lot of useful information, almost information overload. But it was structured very similar to how most events are structured, in that there's a keynote and then there are small breakout sessions that you can choose to go to in between, and that's pretty much the.
Was there a particular track that you decided on, or did you get a sample from every track?
Podcasting, right?
Yeah, that was
all you cared about.
Because I podcast all the time, I thought, it would be best to just stick to that. No, I did kind of hang in a couple of tracks. The B2B social media track was good, as well as I'm looking to start my own blog. So the more blog-focused panels and discussions were of interest to me. I did stay away. There was a re-Blog World, which there was a really big contingency of real estate folks there that are getting involved
really?
In social. Yeah. And so that first day, and possibly part of the second, but for sure the first, there was a Blog World, which was the real estate blog world or blog world track. And then there was a mommy blogging track as well, which I did stay away from that. But they're great. Great energy in the...
I don't think you become a mommy by going to that track.
No. I did encounter a lot of moms that blog, and they were very, very awesome. A lot of good, useful information.
Yeah. Well, and I can't wait for realtors to start to follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'm pretty excited about that myself.
Yeah, so that I can find out links to new houses and
yes.
It'll be fabulous.
It will be, yes. Yeah, I'm sure it'll start happening soon. Jeez.
Whole other opportunity for more advertising. I'm pretty excited about that.
No, and I hate to say it, but it seems like there's a huge gap there, because I was started, you know, a bunch of them started following because we were at the same event, and they're not really understanding it just so much yet. But yeah.
Well, you know what, though? Most people don't. Nope. In fact, I was at a thing just the other day where it was all these people around my age and older that were business owners, and the whole discussion was about social media, and it's just why would I bother? Why would I? And so it's clearly that even if they do go and do it, they're not going to dive in and really learn about it. They're trying to figure out how they can leverage it as a channel. Was there a discussion out there about that? About etiquette in social media, about best practices, or I mean, was that in the track? Was that in? Did they talk about the blogging track? Did they talk about the disclosures now that the FTC wants?
There was a big keynote led the second day over the lunch hour by Jeremiah O. Wang, and forgive me, I can't remember the others that were on a panel, but you know, just to throw this out there in the beginning of this conversation, if you want to go back and look at conversations or see where fellow blog worlders have posted recaps, if you go to the hashtag, which is a pound sign, #BWE09, you will find, you know, the whole conversation stream there, as well as links to numerous blogs and videos and podcast content. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But that panel was over the lunch hour the second day, led by Jeremiah O. Wang again. Phenomenal guy. And there was conversation of the guidelines. And it started out by a raise of hands of, you know, who believes that this is a good thing, who believes that it's a bad thing. And it was kind of astonishing that the hands that went up and the hands that didn't go up, and the conversation kind of went down the road of, you know, this is something that you should have been doing all along. Like, if it's, you know, but I mean, there are people who have a huge problem with it, and folks that, you know, either had been doing it for a long time or it was not new news. But it was kind of an interesting discussion. But because it had been hashed out so much in, you know, on blogs and a number of, you know, a number of reputable bloggers or people who blog a lot had already tackled the topic, it was, you know, from my perspective and having read about it, was, I don't know.
It was pretty much resolved, right?
It was resolved.
It was talked about, yeah. Yeah.
And then that, you know, that day the story broke, which I was surprised, frankly, that it broke so long after the actual announcement. But, you know, the constitutionality of the FTC's ruling and things like that. So that was touched on a little bit. But, you know, it was to be expected at the event, I suppose.
Yeah.
The conversation was very interesting.
So if you were to sit back and think, what were the top, say, three sessions you went to? I mean, what really stands out in your mind that you really loved?
Just off the top of my head, and we can delve further into them if you'd like, but Chris Brogan's keynote that first day was phenomenal. I'm a big fan of Chris Brogan. I've read his book. I read his blog and now his newsletter that he sends, which is, you know, more of a way for him to kind of personally reach out. It's very different from his blog. But I mean, he spoke about love and humanness in business, and human business was the big takeaway from it. And he kind of really delved into that. You know, the second was definitely the panel that Brian Solis led. It was the panel about kind of new and traditional media and where that's headed. And, you know, Hugh Hewitt was there, and Don Lemon from CNN, and all of these names, there were so many people, information overload, so forgive me, but, you know, that was a phenomenal discussion. The celebrity panel was very interesting as well. To be honest, I didn't really take that much away from it, but it was very interesting to hear what celebrities' perspectives were, how they are integrating social media into whatever facet of celebrity they occupy. So that was interesting to hear their perspectives, but there was not a lot of value added except from Anthony Edwards and a little bit by Jermaine Dupri and how he's using social media in music and to make albums.
Well, and you know, that's interesting to hear because I know how it took me about a day or so to recover when I found out Miley Cyrus was no longer tweeting. I could barely get to
is
work
she back
the next
yet?
Morning.
She's got to be back by now, right?
I don't believe she's back.
You don't think so?
I don't believe she is.
We always had an expression when I was in radio when we were deciding on what music to play, you know, on the playlist that's something that we would consider a hit or something like that. And there was always that concept of, you know, you can't get hurt by what you don't play. So, and that would, you know, we were always concerned about the ratings and, you know, where it would lead.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with, you know, you can't be hurt by people that don't tweet. So,
exactly.
Now that Miley's gone, are you really going to miss it that much?
No. So did Brian, I'm just curious about this because I've used it in different presentations with attribution, of course.
Of course.
It's Creative
I've
Commons,
seen it.
Is that what people call the flower,
sure,
about how they build that. I mean, he's kind of into building graphics about...
Are you talking about the conversation prism?
Yes.
Okay.
About so you're able to visualize all of the different
all
things
the
that
logos.
Are going on. Well, and what I find fascinating about that is that it's such a challenge to try to get across to people not only what's available out there at our fingertips, but also how quickly it's changing.
Yeah.
And there's this feature race going on and trying to get people's attention, and it's just amazing. And we're benefiting from it with all the great tools and software and stuff that's showing up. Did he go into that? Did he talk about, you know, how big it is or if it's accelerating?
You know, the unfortunate thing about that was Brian Solis, he moderated two panels, both the traditional and, you know, how media or how social media is affecting, you know, traditional news media essentially, as well as a celebrity panel, but he didn't keynote anything on his own.
Okay.
So,
right.
And I was super bummed because I'm a huge fan of his work and a huge fan of, you know, his book, Putting the Public Back in Public Relations, and kind of his blog focus. And he didn't, unfortunately, you know, that wasn't his shtick this time around at Blog World. So,
yeah, he was more of a conversation leader than he was. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He facilitated conversations, which you know, added an extreme amount of value, and both of those sessions were phenomenal.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, since with people listening right now, why don't you do us a favor and highlight the one session and hit on some of the points, highlight on one session that you really, really took a lot away from, that you feel like you can talk expertly on. You know, something that the people listening to this podcast can walk away with.
Okay. You know, I suppose I want to choose probably Chris Brogan's keynote then, but I wouldn't mind hitting a little bit on an NYU professor by the name of Jay Rosen after, if I might, just about kind of journalism. And I was very touched by his contributions in the new media panel, but I'll backpedal and go to Chris Brogan's keynote because... Chris Brogan's keynote, as I mentioned earlier, was focused a lot on human business and bringing love into business and bringing that human component into business. And that was an overall theme to Blog World this year in a lot of respects. Throughout all of the sessions that I attended and a lot of the keynotes, we are in a different age. We are in a different time in which not necessarily social media and the tools that you know, are under its umbrella are so important, but the fact of the ways in which we are communicating as the result of these things in this new way, you know, that was kind of the overreaching theme of the whole event. And so, you know, Brogan kind of opened up by talking about, and he did swear a lot because I think that he was having a very passionate moment, or is in a very passionate time where, you know, we're all going to these events. And he's like, you know, he was talking about how it's like all these same people are going to these same events every year, talking about the importance of social media and talking about blogging and how it's time to kind of get away from that and start spreading the love and spreading that message out. Not talking about how important it is that you blog or explaining to people why it's important that they blog, but if you have that audience and you have that power to blast a message out, to have it be a good message and an influential message that's going to pay it forward, essentially. So much that in the beginning he said, I don't want you to write a blog post recapping this tomorrow. I want you to take your following and I want you to write a post about something that's going to do something good for somebody else. Because he's already there. He's written a book. Right, he's on the New York Times bestseller list. It's like, who cares? It's done. So he wanted people to pay it forward.
Could you explain a little bit more about bringing the love to business? Explain that a little bit, because, you know, the one thing that I have noticed, there has been a turn by a lot of folks saying, you know, and it was also brought up when we talk about the FTC, you know, it's like, well, we can take care of ourselves. We've got this high integrity level, et cetera, and we're going to share the love, and that's great by the people that get it, the people that understand it. And I think the people that are in it because they're in it for the passion. But there are people that are not in it for passion. There are people in it strictly for business. There are people in it strictly for agendas that are less than honorable, agendas that are less than morally upright. So
kind of like human beings overall.
So tell me about, you know, this whole idealistic, we're going to share the love. I mean, I can see this Peter Max Beatles thing coming as we're talking about this, but.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that is important to define what that means. But, you know, from a business perspective, I mean, he was talking about putting the person who loves in the organization in leadership. I mean, so often in companies, especially where there's a sales focus, which is pretty much every company, we're all selling an idea, a product, a service, what have you. And he talked about, if I blast you with a completely inconsiderate, untargeted email once a week or twice a week, where's the love in that? Where's the love in sending an inconsistent message about your company to your prospects or your clients? Or
So is he saying love as in respect love, or love as in, oh, I love you? I mean, because I think clearly respect needs to be part of what we're talking about, but I don't necessarily know if love is what we need to go.
Well, can I just go?
Well, no, and I'll just clarify. He did specify that love, as in like love of how you love your spouse or your what have you, your partner, your father, your daughter, your child, whatever. Completely different than love in business. And by love in business, I think that what he spoke to is the learning component. Taking what you learn, and by learn, I mean get out there, listen. I mean, we've heard listen, engage, and build those relationships. But really, truly, the listening component. Taking what you've learned from going out there and, excuse me, giving a shit about what people have to say, and taking what you've learned, think about it, and produce a result. So in that email, in those communications to your audiences, and I mean, I sit here and I think this isn't a novel idea, but unfortunately, communications plans are typically absent from organizations.
Well, you know, and like, let me just throw this out, and then you can kind of come at it from those perspectives, but in a lot of ways, it's most marketing and most sales is all about, we've created this for what we think you want. And so now it's all about us. It's about our numbers, and it's about us making penetration into the marketplace, and it's about us driving revenue, and it's about us. And what I'm gathering from the things that I've read of Chris, from Chris, and the whole love thing, it's about sort of turning that outward and to say, it really isn't about me. If I'm doing it for you, then I'm creating this to serve you. And then in theory, then it's attraction rather than promotion.
You're right on. You're nailing it right on the head.
Okay. So that's kind of where he was going with the essence of that?
No, totally. I mean, he talked about making it about them and stop making it a call to me, or if we want to speak in obviously business terms, a call to my company. It's not about the company. You need to make it a call to your clients, to your prospects, to your audience. And he kind of didn't want to get into the whole audience thing, because that terminology is, I mean, it's going. It's going, gone. Because, I mean, how do you...
You know what's so funny? I went out to the Web 2.0 Expo in November of 2006, and I was going to release this report called Rise of the Participation Culture, and it was all about the direction of social and what was happening and so forth and communications. And when I started writing that, knowing that I was going to release it and tell people about it out at the Web 2.0 Expo, I started writing it. I didn't start writing it for the people that needed to hear the message. I was writing it to impress those who, like you, I follow and read and am interested in as thought leaders. And I was about a quarter of the way through the report, and I was having just an incredible time trying to get this damn thing done because I was making it very academic, and I was pulling in all this data and blah, blah, blah. And I literally stopped, and I just made a conscious decision to turn it around. And the only way I can describe it, even though this is kind of metaphysical, is I felt like I was channeling. Mm-hmm. Like there was some, you know, spiritual being somewhere that was just, it was just flowing out of me.
Yeah.
It just, it flowed out of me, and I was done in like 3 days. Boom.
Yeah.
I was done.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, was a great lesson in turning it around. And even with Skimmer, that app that Fallon did.
Yep.
When I first saw that app, I had great suspicion.
We all talked about
that.
We thought, well, this is just going to be
a gimmick. Yeah, it's just going to be a gimmick. And I interviewed Chris Wiggins, and that was one of the first things I asked in some ways. And he said, oh, no, wait a minute. It really isn't. And what it is we're walking the talk. We're eating our own dog food relative to our pitch to our clients about branded generosity, that it's all about we're giving something to the market. We're doing something for the market, and it will come back to us tenfold.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, if you do it in the right way. And that's the basis of the whole freemium thing that Chris Anderson, Wired magazine editor, did his book on free. And I mean, that's ultimately what this is all about. It's about, you can't just throw stuff out there and expect that it's the only choice, and you got to motivate people to do it.
No, absolutely. And you know, I don't want to jump around too much, but there was a really great B2B panel, and I don't want to get too far off of Chris Brogan, but I think that this is totally applicable. But, you know, there's a lot of B2B focus within the social media arena. It's very interesting in the conversations that I've heard, because a lot of it is outward focused. But the B2B panel I sat in at Blog World was very helpful because it was all from the inside out. In the B2B session, it was very helpful because there were four people on this panel, and they were all talking about how their business-to-business organizations are utilizing social media. But the difference between this panel and everything else I've heard, which is always outward-facing, like how do we reach our clientele from a business-to-business standpoint versus business-to-consumer. But instead, these folks talked about how they are providing value, and by that I mean producing tools internally that will make everyone's job easier, and then they're bringing it to the outside, bringing it to clients, bringing it to their prospects. And it was very interesting, and there was obviously talk about CRM integration in there, but just the added value, and that's my point, and kind of tying it back to Brogan and what you were just saying, Steve, is the fact that ultimately we're providing value. And again, it's like none of this stuff is really new, which is funny. But the funny thing is how few people, you know, really get how to provide that value to their base, you know, both to their employees as well as the people that it is that they're trying to reach. They don't know how to provide the tools in order to make that community do all the work. Because if you provide all the content and you provide all the value for them to make a decision, to be a brand advocate, to be an evangelist, whatever it is your objectives are, it's so much easier. But it's not thought of that way. It's thought about in not a loving way. And by loving, again, we're talking about, you know, giving the value, giving the content, giving authenticity, listening, learning from them to provide the content that they need in order to make decisions or do whatever it is your ultimate objective as an organization is. Makes sense.
It does. And that's why I think it would have been fun. I would love, just like we talked about at MEMA, was how it would have been great to have vendors there, because I want to see what vendors are doing to ship product that helps do that, how to help execute that. So not a matter of, well, let me back up. I mean, you mentioned Radian 6 was out there. So I've gone through six different overview screencast things, and I have had one-on-one sessions and so on with all these different vendors like Radian 6. Yeah. And so I've been able to kind of learn the value proposition of them. And it's really interesting because the tools can be used for evil.
Yep.
They really can.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you can figure out who's who and you can start slamming them with whatever.
Yep.
Or it can be used for discovery and it can be used for measurement.
Yep.
So if you're going to do a campaign, if you do the campaign in traditional ways or even maybe in some new media ways and nobody cares because they're not talking about it, then it hasn't been effective. You haven't given the love out. You haven't shared. You haven't given value. You haven't provided something that anybody cares about.
Yep.
But if people start to talk about it and you can see that they're talking about it with by using these tools, then that's what starts to bring in the ROI piece and you can start to measure what's happening.
Absolutely.
Was there a lot of discussion or were there sessions by vendors on tools, on management tools, and especially with ROI? Because that's always you sit with a chief marketing officer, that's the number one. I'll see ROI.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, there were a few ROI sessions. Of course, I didn't attend them because
that's not what you're in it for.
It's not what I'm in it for. I've used measurement tools, and I think that I've discovered ways to provide value in the social sphere with my employer or even personally. I mean, I think that if you're a user and you engage, you understand the ROI. But again, that's not important that you understand it because ultimately we have to answer to someone and we have to provide that. What's the return on investment or return on engagement or what have you, participation.
Yeah, yeah.
There were sessions. There weren't really sessions by vendors. The expo itself kind of took care of that and people at their leisure could, go and talk to the Radiant Sixes of the world or, other vendors. That was, I want to say, the only measurement vendor there. There was no Techrigy, and I believe there are other, like two others in that arena, and they weren't represented.
There's many more.
Some
of the big business intelligence vendors are getting into the space as
well. Of course. Yep.
And then extensions to Salesforce, all that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, God, I swear every conversation I have with everyone that has anything to do with media.
Yeah.
I blog 4 days a week for Scholastic, the K-12 publisher, and they won't disclose to me what the numbers are, but I know based on how much or how little engagement there is on specific things, how people are engaged or not engaged online, but also, they've got to be feeling the same fate, they got to be experiencing the same fate as any traditional publication, even trade rags that are given away for free. People are saying, no, I don't even want it, not even for free. Because it's not worth it for them to fill out a qualification card to get something for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just not, it's that there's just not enough of a payoff because it's just an ad vehicle.
Yeah.
And all that stuff is, for the most part, it's dying.
Yeah.
Because it probably never worked anyway. But there was no real way to know.
Exactly.
Because it was all about impressions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now you can measure.
Yeah.
Because you know if somebody comes and they convert,
then
you can follow that trail. And it's a much different paradigm. But still, I think the interesting thing is, and I'm just going to ask this maybe in a kind of a roundabout way, but in some ways I look at this and social media as a category feels like two parts art, one part science.
Yep.
And is that sort of what you glean from this, or is it even higher than that? I mean, is it four parts art, half a part science, or the other way around? Maybe it's all about the technology, and of course it's not because there's no humans on the other end interacting. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't really know how I would categorize it on that scale. I'd almost do a third, and a third of something like, art and science, and I want to throw like a common sense or some sort of humanness component, maybe that's how you're defining art, but there was very much a 101 component to this a little bit in some of the sessions I attended, which you can come to expect. I mean, and this event was for, and they were very clear about this on their website and in their promotion for it. It was for new social media users. In fact, the first day I sat next to a gal, she had no Twitter, no Facebook, no LinkedIn. I mean, that's just our we'll start there. We'll categorize those as the basics, But, and she had a micro towel company and she had had it for years, to dry your hair. It's a towel. Any women listening should probably know what I'm talking about. You get out of the shower and...
Phil does, right? Phil's shaking his head.
Right.
Well, I was just trying to think, any women listening, that would be you.
Anyways, it absorbs all the moisture. It's that kind of towel. You know, whatever, the micro technology fabric business. But
is it like a golf towel?
Is it like a chamois?
Yes, it's exactly like a chamois, guys. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. I better get in touch with my audience.
No, that's not
But anyway,
true.
She had no, I mean, she was like, I just decided to come here because I thought, you know, I better, you know, start paying attention to what's going on. And it was kind of like right on, you know, and I had bumped into her a couple of times and she was totally confused and out of her mind on day two, you know, just not.
Anything. Oh, I'm sure.
She was very overwhelmed, you know. And
but you know what? Good for her. Exactly. For jumping in the game.
And that's what I said to her, you know, and I helped her out in any way that I could and directed her to a couple of sessions I thought might be good and things like that. But no, I mean, I think that I do. I think it's very much a three-pronged thing, but in terms of breaking it down, I don't know.
Okay.
Tell us about that. You had mentioned a professor that you wanted to touch on.
Yes.
And I want to visit that.
Yes.
It was either New York.
Because I, you know, very much want to, I want to hear from people that aren't Chris Brogan, Brian Solis.
Totally, absolutely. No, and this gentleman's name is Jay Rosen, and he can be found at JRosen_NYU. Phenomenal journalism professor at NYU, and perspective was greatly appreciated. And this was probably another favorite discussion of mine. And like I said, Don Lemon from CNN was there representing big media, and there was a lot of, you know, he had a rough going of it. And you know, that was very interesting to watch in terms of him representing and kind of fighting for mainstream media and having a number of people say, I'm sorry, bud. Like, I'm sorry, and thanks for participating, and thanks for tweeting this whole time during this panel what's going on. But what you've got to understand is we have the power. Like,
we don't need you anymore.
And not necessarily that we don't need you, you know, most trusted news network, but here's the thing. And a guy got up, and I'm sorry, I'm deviating from Jay for a minute. Do we have time for this?
Yeah, sure. That's cool. Yeah.
I'm deviating a little bit from Jay here, but you know, a gentleman got up and asked a question of him after, you know, we had gone through all of this discussion, and he said that, you know, when gas prices went up, he, you know, he was looking for information on oil. He was looking for information and looking for a story that wasn't contrived, that wasn't prepackaged for us to consume by someone else. And he found a blogger who was blogging on his oil source that he was looking for. And this blogger had his facts straight. He had his sources noted and gave him all the information he needed to know. And when he was talking to Don Lemon about this, Don said, well, why didn't you email us? We would have, you know, we could cover it. And his response to Don was, why should I have to? And it was so powerful because why should we have to tell you? You're the mainstream media. You should be reporting on what's important to me. And now I have the capacity to, or I can go find that information from a source. And granted, a big part of that discussion was fact checking and how can we be sure? Well, everybody has the power to do that too now, but that was a theme within that panel as well. But I want to get back to Jay, and we can come back to that if you want. But Jay is a journalism professor at NYU, and I would like to, if I have time, talk about a new journalism master's program that I would love to be involved in, but I'm not moving to New York anytime soon. But you know, he offered some really interesting perspectives, one of which was he described, you know, what I kind of described with traditional and mass media before, but he described it as, you know, we are on a horizontal plane versus a vertical plane, and that vertical plane being, you know, the prepackaged, you know, message that we're supposed to digest from a source that is the most trusted source in news or whatever their shtick is.
Fair and balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Fox.
Yeah. Right.
I know, that's, yeah.
You know, to this horizontal network, which is, you know, people connecting through ideas and passions versus that vertical, and it was very powerful, and he, you know, he elaborated on it quite a bit, but you know, it all comes back to that real authentic human experience. And you know, he discussed the fact that you know, if we were at the scene of an accident and we read the paper the next day, that story, we're going to read that story and say, well, it didn't happen like that because we were eyewitnesses, and we're going to have another story. And now we've all had the capacity to do that for a long time. But now we really have the capacity to do it. And he, you know, he kind of talked about back in, you know, 2003, how the blogosphere was very different than it is today. You know, he said the blog world was like one ecosystem, but now it's more complex. There are more aggregators and there's a fight for attention and coverage. So blogging has changed because the system in which the blog is embedded is a lot more complex. And he went on to talk about how it's going to be far harder for journalists to make money because of the access to being a citizen journalist.
You know, and did he talk, because this is the one thing that I've had many conversations with, you know, people like Joel Kramer. We cross-post him in post once a week, and, you know, he was the publisher of the Star Tribune. Mm-hmm. And Reed Johnson, the old news director from CCO, you know, people like that that have been in the traditional news business for quite some time. And the biggest, well, I've even made the statement that I don't care about journalism. I care about investigative journalism.
Yes.
Because the biggest problem that I have is if people talk about a topic or they jump on a meme or whatever they happen to do, that's great. People might have different perspectives and different opinions, but who's taking the time to pick up the phone and call sources? Who's driving out to do the interviews? Who's doing the legwork at the library to do fact-checking, but to dig and put together these very highly complex stories? And that troubles me. I mean, it troubles me deeply, because if there were 50 thought leaders in the country that were talking about national security, and they were the ones who were digging deep and they were the ones who were really nailing it, how hard would it be to go to 50 individuals and shut them up? It'd be a lot harder to shut up the New York Times and CBS News and CNN, you know, all of it, because the amount of power that's there. And that's why I worry about investigative journalism, that you know, are we going to go back to being pamphleteers in the day before newspapers when the colonies were new? Or are we going to, you know, where's the power going to come from? You know, maybe it's the Huffington Post. I see that Jay Rosen writes for the Huffington Post. Maybe you talked about that. But, you know, they went out and they got funding to do investigative journalism. Yeah. So there are new models emerging. And did he talk about that at all?
He didn't talk about that so much, but with a partnership like that, I mean, that's what this, you know, that's basically what this master's program is based on, is these partnerships. And, you know, a big focus in the discussion was, you know, obviously the topic was journalism changing. And so obviously the topic of our journalism programs in universities and colleges suffice? I mean, are they sufficient for its students, you know? Yeah, and the answer is no. There are certain tips and tricks and good old foundational skills that, yes, are taught and necessary. But, you know, these new forms of journalism aren't really touched on much. And folks are coming out of J school with not necessarily ill-equipped, but not equipped enough. I mean, we're not going in with, you know, hey, I'm with so-and-so in the college newspaper and, you know, I'm wondering if I can interview. I mean, that's a part of it still, but it's very different. I mean, everybody has the same access to tools that bigwigs have now. So,
well, and look at the skills that you're already learning.
Right.
So it's not just blogging, but, oh, by the way, I can do video and upload that and embed that. Oh, I can do audio and do that. Oh, I can, you know, and there's all these different tools that you can use to communicate stories and message. Yeah. Before we end,
I was just going to ask. I was going to ask, as it pertains to journalism, this is one of the things that has always sort of eaten at me, was there any discussion of the death of the AP style guide?
No, thank God, because I won the AP Style app for iPhone for free a couple weeks ago, and it's amazing.
Isn't it like $100?
It's like $30.
$30,
I think $28.99 to be exact.
That's not bad.
But I won the app, and it's
so
quite fantastic.
So my question is, you know, if we become more and more citizen journalists, if we look more and more outside journalism, then the demands of the AP Style Guide really become moot. I mean, there's really no point in it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because these people aren't going to try and write a different way. They're going to write the way they talk. And I guess I'm not a big fan of this clinging to the AP style guide stuff.
Interesting. So, well, it's still a good guide.
It's a great guide.
It's a great framework.
Guide,
Yeah.
But it's interesting, yeah.
It's a good, you know, I mean, and I think that that's, I think that, yes, the conversationalist and folks and the more, you know, personability and, or just people's personalities will shine through a little bit more. But, I mean, I think that there will be an expectation that people still are good writers. And I don't know that they need to operate necessarily under the AP, but, you know, Chris Brogan did say editing is good manners. And be concise, package it, make it tight, and give something to take, you know, give the folks something to take with them when they go. And so, yes, I think that while we might divorce ourselves a little bit from like the tried and true AP style, I think that there will still be a very strong expectation to be able to package a story the appropriate way. Which not everybody has the capacity to do.
Well, I did have one last quick question before we've got to end. How much money did you win at the slots?
You know, the funny thing is I did not put a dime in a slot machine.
How was the buffet?
Yeah, those sausages and bacon buffets.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah, I actually stayed away from the buffets. I had sushi at the MGM Grand and
excellent.
Ate at New York. So
all right. That was it?
Well, I did.
No wild, crazy, woke up in the middle of the desert sort of thing?
I saw Zumanity, which is a phenomenal burlesque Cirque show, and that was pretty fantastic. So that was as close as I got to the desert, though, Phil. I'm sorry to disappoint.
Sorry.
Well, Lisa, this has been fabulous. Thank you so much for coming down for the interview, and it was great, and giving us a recap of Blog World. Are you going to go next year?
I believe I'll attend next year. It was a very there was a lot of value added.
Yep. Great. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.